The Lessons Learned for Vets podcast is proud to be brought to you by AFMA, the American Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association. Established in 1879, they are the longest standing nonprofit association empowering military families with affordable financial solutions for generations, offering life insurance, wealth management, mortgages, survivor assistance, and other benefits. AFMA is here to support you through every stage of life. AFMA is dedicated to helping service members be financially and logistically ready for life after the military. To support you in this process, AFMA would like to offer you their free downloadable transition timeline, a step-by-step guide to help you create a comprehensive military transition plan. Let AFMA help you get ready for your next step by visiting AFMA.com/LL4V, that's AAFMAA.com/LL4V, or clicking the link in the show notes. Welcome to the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast, your military transition debrief from the veteran mentors who've gone before you. My name is Lori Norris, and I've been teaching veterans how to successfully navigate their military transition since 2005. I'm a civilian who speaks the language of all branches of the U.S. military, and I am on a mission to educate veterans in the job search marketing process. Sit back and enjoy the military transition hot washes and after action reports of your fellow veterans. You may just learn some lessons that smooth your own transition path.
Hey, have you heard of Boots to Books? We're a nonprofit that is here to help veterans, transitioning military, reservists, and their families get the best possible education and employment. We do it completely for free. Boots to Books is proud to sponsor this episode. And if you want to learn more or get assistance, reach out to our team at boots2books.com. Now back to the episode.
The one thing I wish I would have leaned heavier on during my resume process is my understanding of structure, of systems and processes, and how to build teams, how to structure professional and personal development plans for others. I didn't think that felt like kind of a soft skill or one that others wouldn't care about. But I came onto the team, and something I just like to do in general is understand, why do we do it this way? And then say, okay, does this make sense? Is it benefiting you? Is it benefiting the customer? Is this helping with growth or expansion? And if it's not, how can we fix it? Let's talk about how we can fix it. And I feel like when I came onto the team, I brought an element of a focused structure and kind of a forward way of thinking about things. And, you know, being in the military, like I learned, I mean, of course I complained and hated doing it then, but SOPs, you know, what the purpose of those were. We built them and I thought, man, these are just so stupid. But then coming here, I'm like, wow, actually this could be kind of useful. You know, it lays out a framework for why we do things and where we're going.
On today's episode of the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast, I am welcoming Sarah Ostrowski. Sarah served 7 years as a U.S. Army intelligence officer. She decided to separate from the Army in early 2021 and had a very different plan for her career than what she's doing today as the manager of global intelligence and threat analysis for the Walt Disney Company. Her job search was full of mistakes and stumbles, but she is here today to talk about how she used informational interviewing, networking, and an engaging, open and honest communication style to land her dream position. Not only does Sarah talk about her imperfect job search today in the episode, but she also expertly ties together how she showcased her military skills in her interview and as an employee who's already been promoted several levels in her first year of working in the corporate world. Be sure to head over to our YouTube channel because Sarah talks about how she has been able to be promoted already in her first year of work by taking a step back in order to move her career forward. Well, Sarah, I am excited to talk to you today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
We always start with the military transition story, right? So I know that when you made the decision to separate from the Army, you planned to go a little bit of a different direction. So tell us a little bit about kind of that whole process of deciding to get out of the military and changing your direction and kind of how you landed where you are today.
So for the first 4 years of my career, I was a field artillery officer. And at the four-year mark, I made my transition over to become a military intelligence officer. I served with 5th Special Forces Group, did a few deployments with them before I exited. But during that time period, during my service in the military, I really noticed kind of this gap or need for better healthcare, mental healthcare professionals. And I became really interested in pursuing my PhD in psychiatry or even like psychology, and then come back to the military and serve in that same capacity just as a health professional. And so on my last deployment, I finally got up the courage to apply to school, to get all the applications together. I remember being so exhausted, finally hitting those submit buttons on the application. And months later, after months of anticipating, like, am I going to get it? Am I going to get rejected? Like, what's going to happen? I got my acceptance letters to my top two schools. And I thought I would feel more excited, more energized to pursue this new path, but I didn't. And I was so confused by that because I'm like, I've been thinking about this for years, pursuing this path and doing this, and it's finally right in front of me. Why am I not more excited to kind of move forward? So I decided to kind of put that on the back burner. I deferred school for a year and I was like, you know, I love parts of what I do as an intelligence officer right now. I know that I don't want to hang up my uniform just to go right back into another government office that looks at the same mission set, has the same conversations with the same people over and over again. And so I decided, let me see what the private sector has to offer. At this time, I didn't know anything about intelligence outside three-letter agencies, the military, but I used LinkedIn. And after some pretty deep research, I found this job with the Walt Disney Company at in their corporate department for an analyst that would work on their global intelligence and threat analysis team. And I remember thinking, what does Disney need with a global intelligence and threat analysis team? I mean, the concept was wild to me. But then I started learning that lots of other corporations have, you know, intelligence teams or intelligence functions. And it was bizarre. I had no idea what this even meant, what they would be doing, what access to resources they would have. But it piqued my interest. And I reached out to a bunch of individuals in the industry and just came at it from a perspective of, explain to me what it is you do. Like, I'm interested. This is so cool, but I don't understand. And that's kind of how I landed up to where I am right now, using the skills I learned from the military to further my career as an intelligence professional right now.
And we're going to talk more about like the translation of that and some of the ways that you presented that in the interview and just the skills that you're tapping into also. But I just want to point out, like, so you had a path in mind, you had an education plan, and, you know, I really want to talk about how you trusted your gut, right? You just said, this doesn't feel right. And I know that there are sometimes where we're on a path and we're like, no, I've got the blinders on. I'm staying on that path no matter what. And I really encourage all of you to listen to kind of that intuition of, is that right for you? I mean, that was a big decision for you, wasn't it? Because you kind of had a plan in place.
You know, I think, is it like divine intervention? Is it fueled by pure anxiety or imposter syndrome for making such a huge leap? I don't know. It was a multitude of factors that came into it. I remember someone telling me, you know, Sarah, you want to help people and you can do that no matter where you go. You can influence, you can be someone to lean on for someone in any atmosphere or environment you work on. You don't necessarily have to make it specifically your career. So why don't you just test the waters with something that you're already a little bit familiar in, see if you like it. But then on the side, explore something separate from work where you can contribute or continue to contribute to other people and kind of the betterment of their lives, whether it's mentoring or volunteering or getting involved with community projects. And in that moment, I thought, like, what a strange concept, because the Army was all consuming in so many ways. I mean, it was all you think about, all you do. I mean, it becomes part of your personality in a sense. So the idea of doing something separate than what you do in your day-to-day work life that could also contribute to some sort of fulfillment was just a very bizarre concept to me. But I thought, okay, you know what? I'm making a leap. Let's just do it and see how it happens. Like, I can't be afraid of failure. Maybe I try this for a year and it doesn't work out. And I think, man, like, what a waste. And then I just pivot to something else. You know, I don't want to do just one thing. I want to recreate myself 100 times over and see what I can do and adjust from there. You know, it's a journey, as they would say, right? And so I guess in that sense, yeah, I trusted my gut. I very much expected failure, but I was like, that's okay. I've failed before. I know I can just pivot and do something else. So let's just try it out and see what happens.
I like that attitude. That's great. And I also, just the fact that you don't have to do a full-time position in psychology or supporting mental health of our service members, that you can do that as kind of your a volunteer project or something that you do, like you said, in addition, because, you know, work is busy in the private sector, but it's not as all consuming as maybe the military was, right? So, yeah, great. So people are probably sort of surprised to hear that you are a, you know, global intelligence and threat analyst for the Walt Disney Company. I know you said, like, I didn't even know that they had those out there. So take me through how you discovered that those positions were available out there, that you didn't have to work for, you know, federal or law enforcement types of jobs to use the skills that you had.
This may or may not be true. Really, this is kind of just the narrative that I tell myself, which I've led myself to believe. So I really leaned heavily on LinkedIn and the algorithm that is built into the system. And so I started looking at, okay, let me backtrack. I want to look at intelligence professionals who served in the military. What are they doing now? And so I started to scope out. I would look for, you know, intel analysts, intel officers on LinkedIn. It would take me to their profile. I would stalk everything on their profile and see, okay, oh, they're working here now, or they're doing this now. And then with that, I would read the language on their profiles and see what their job descriptions said, what their current responsibilities were. And I thought, okay, I can translate that to what I'm doing. That's something that I've done in the past. And so that kind of just snowballed into learning about more organizations who have intelligence teams and what their role within the company is. I mean, it was a huge endeavor because who knew, right? Who knew that private sector organizations have such robust intel security teams or communities out there? But that's initially how I started to learn about the field a little bit. Of course, at that time, I still didn't understand what their functions were, other than what blurbs I was seeing on LinkedIn or people's profiles. So I started to reach out to individuals at that point.
So you used your research and intelligence analysis skills to gather intelligence on the intelligence career field outside of the military. Did I get all that right?
Yeah, I was a targeter for part of my time in the military. So I used the skills to track down some other people to see if I wanted to work with them.
I like it. And, you know, I think you bring up a really good point is you can do a very targeted search in LinkedIn using filters. So when you're in that search bar, you can go into filters and look at like the job titles of people and the previous employers of people and just see what are they doing now? Like where have, you know, intelligence analysts gone or intelligence officers taken their career? And yeah, use that function on LinkedIn to start reaching out and gathering information. It's funny because you did use like your skills that you had in the military to do this process. I love it. So you told me the story of your application at Disney and it, as you told it, you said it was a little bit of a comedy of errors, right? So One of the things I think is really important is to showcase that you don't have to do everything perfect to be successful. And so tell us that story, if you don't mind, of what happened.
Okay. So it was pretty late at night after work. You know, you're exhausted. You're up late at night because you can't turn your brain off. And so you're scrolling through whatever social media is available. At that point, it was LinkedIn for me is what I was looking at. And I came across this job for the analyst position with Disney's global Intel threat analysis team. And at that point, this was pretty early on in my search for moving into the private sector. I didn't have a civilian resume constructed, but I saw this opportunity and was like, I have to do something right now. Like, I don't know how long these windows are open for. Like, I don't know how it works in the civilian world. So, you know, I don't know. It's like 11:30, almost midnight. And I threw together this civilian resume as quickly as I could. And looking back on it, I don't know how anyone understood anything on that resume. There was so much military jargon. I feel bad for whoever was on the receiving end of that product. And I hit submit. And as soon as I hit submit, I realized that really the only civilian word on there that was, you know, translatable, the word graduate, I ended up spelling incorrectly. So, you know, these people are getting my resume that's supposed to be this, you know, profound intelligence officer with the United States Army. And it was awful, but I submitted it anyway. I reached out to, at that point, I was like, I need to reach out to others because I don't think that my resume is going to be strong enough. So on LinkedIn, I looked up every person who was on the global Intel team at the time. And I cold emailed all of them. I was like, I know you have no idea who I am. I saw that you work on this team. I'm really interested in learning more about what gaps you guys have, where you're wanting to go in the future. I recognize that my profile may not fit the needs of your team right now, but I'd like the opportunity to maybe posture myself over the next couple of months so that I could be a better fit for your team. Like, if you could give me 15 minutes, I'd really appreciate it. And half of them got back to me, which for LinkedIn is pretty good odds.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And I ended up talking to the hiring manager at the time, and she was like, really appreciate you reaching out. She was former CIA as well. So there was kind of a pivot into private sector connection for the both of us. And she told me that the company, that the posting was a mistake and that it wasn't meant for an external hire. It was only meant for an internal hire at the time. And I was like, that's, you know, a huge bummer, but I'm still really interested in learning about, you know, you and your team and how this whole thing has transpired. And she was kind of surprised. She's like, I just told you I have nothing to offer you and you're still interested. And I was like, yeah, I'm in a space where I'm ready to learn. Right. We talked for about an hour, hour and a half. And she's like, you know, let's, maybe something will happen. Who knows? You submitted your resume. Like, let's see where it goes. And I said, okay, let's just see. The next morning, I got a phone call from the recruiter. He left a message, and I swear he said his name was Bill. And I was so excited. Like, I called him back and we set up an interview. And I remember reading like years ago that people love when you use their names, like when first time you meet them, you know, like, because it makes them feel like you're engaged, this and that. So I used this man's name, Bill, like 500 times. I was like, oh, Bill, you're so funny. Oh, Bill, that's great. You know, Bill, Bill, Bill. And I walked away from that initial meeting with the recruiter thinking like, I nailed this. Like, this was so great. I felt so positive about it. A week later, he emails me and I realized that his name is not Bill, that his name is actually Phil. Like, oh, no.
It's close enough, you know, probably a couple times it sounded like Phil when you said it.
Oh my gosh. Not only did I send these people a resume that made absolutely no sense and there were spelling errors, but I can't even use the guy's real name in an interview. And I felt so terrible. I spent like 2 hours apologizing to him. But you know, yeah, we had a very rocky start, I think, to the beginning of my application process, to my first interview. But somehow I still kept making it down the pipeline, you know, and I felt like I was able to correct or make up for those prior mistakes. And I like that story because you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have the perfect resume. You don't have to have the perfect first interview. You don't have to know everything. I remember when I met with the analysts, they asked me, you know, the standard like strengths and weaknesses question. And I told them, I was like, look, I've spent almost a decade of my life with the military. I don't understand corporate security, business world. Like, I'm not familiar, but what I am doing is I'm trying to bridge that gap. And these are the ways that I'm actively trying to pursue better understanding and collection of information and building relationships in that industry. And it was great, right? I mean, I'm acknowledging that I don't know something, but I'm telling you, I have the ability to learn it. And this is what I'm doing in order to make that effort. So to everyone who feels like you're an imposter, I'm right there with you, you know, but it's about wanting to learn.
And I think that that's great, because if someone says, do you have this skill? Don't lie to them, right? But don't just say, nope, I don't have that skill. And so what you did is you were honest. And you showcased your integrity by saying, I don't have that yet, but I'm working on it. And these are the things that I'm doing to bolster my knowledge so that I become a better candidate. And it's okay to be honest with them. You don't have to be an expert in everything. But I feel like what you did along the way is you built relationships, especially with that first person that you spoke to, and you know that you're, you know, the former CIA person had that connection with you that, you know, even told you, I don't have a position for you, but you still showed an interest. You know, they went and talked to the recruiter, right? And so that's, again, you know, for you to get that call the very next morning, you know, something had to have occurred between the two of them, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's the narrative that I'm telling myself anyway, right? It all kind of comes together. But yeah. I like to think so. You know, her and I, we talk about kind of how those circumstances unfolded even today. And it was great timing, sure. But it was very much, I think, the relationship building. Like I was very interested in hearing other people's story versus just telling people, this is why I'm great. This is why you need me. This is how I can help. And people tell that to me all the time. And I think, do you know what our gaps are? Do you understand what we do? I came at it from an angle of, I just want to understand, can you walk me through it so we can talk it through and I can understand your story and what gaps you have and how I can be a fit on your team, you versus just kind of blanketly laying out, this is why I deserve to be on your team, you know?
And I talk about this a lot. Like, it's not about you. The job search is not about you and your knowledge and your skills. It's about posturing yourself to be the solution to the needs and the problems that they have. And how can you be the solution if you don't know what they are? And I think that curiosity really helped you to build that relationship and showcase that you were interested in supporting them, in filling those gaps, in helping them to overcome the challenges that they had, right? So you're in the role now, you've been in it for a while, right? And so I'm guessing now that you're in it, even though in the beginning you're like, I don't know the corporate world, I don't understand how Intel fits in, I'm guessing you see lots of transferability between what you used to do and what you do now. So can you give me just some examples of those transferable skills that you're using every day in your role at the Walt Disney Company that you brought with you from the Army?
First, I'd like to say that essentially the same thing I was doing in the military is very much what I'm doing now, right? You're collecting information. You are packaging that information for a commander, a business line, a CEO, and you're presenting the so what factor to them. Why should you care about this? Why is this important to our mission, to our company, to our project we're working on? It's all the same thing. Scope and scale is very different. Now that we kind of got the basics of like, what is the job out of the way? I remember moving into this space and having no idea how to translate my skills. I thought, you know, I don't even know how to not speak Army, you know, let alone like understanding the jargon or the terminology that they're using. And so it did take me a little while to kind of get up to speed. The one thing I wish I would have leaned heavier on during my resume process is my understanding of structure, of systems and processes, and how to build teams, how to structure professional and personal development plans for others. I didn't think that that felt like kind of a soft skill or one that others wouldn't care about. But I came onto the team, and something I just like to do in general is understand, why do we do it this way? And then say, okay, does this make sense? Is it benefiting you? Is it benefiting the customer? Is this helping with growth or expansion? And if it's not, how can we fix it? Let's talk about how we can fix it. And I feel like when I came onto the team, I brought an element of a focused structure and kind of a forward way of thinking about things. And, you know, being in the military, like I learned, I mean, of course I complained and hated doing it then, but SOPs, you know, what the purpose of those were. We built them and I thought, man, these are just so stupid. But then coming here, I'm like, wow, actually this could be kind of useful. You know, it lays out a framework for why we do things and where we're going. Kind of a sticking point between the two different types of intelligence. And I know I'm kind of rambling on here, so I'm so sorry.
No, it's all great information. Okay, I love how you're tying it together. Absolutely. Okay. And I like that we get to see your cat in the background too. So you're going to have to go see the video to meet Sarah's cat.
in the private sector, or no, I'm sorry, in the public sector, in the government, in the military, intelligence is fundamentally at the heart of everything we do. Everybody understands what an intelligence function is, how to exercise that apparatus. I mean, intelligence drives operations in a sense. I mean, there's this very fluid relationship between the two. So you don't have to advocate for your role in any sense. I mean, if you say, hey, we need XYZ products, or we need oversight on you know, ABC, everyone just understands what that means. But coming into the private sector is a very different space. People don't instinctively understand what that intelligence function is, what you can bring to the table. So in a lot of ways, you're advocating for what you're doing and why this is important. It's always about the so what factor. On top of doing kind of your normal day-to-day activities and monitoring what's going on, you're also having to sell yourselves to your business leaders, your partners, and explain to them how you can be leveraged, how you can help them. But it's also about understanding what their gaps are and understanding what they don't know. In a lot of ways, they don't know how to verbalize those gaps, right? And so you have to help them get to that point. The same thing you would do in the military. You know, a commander wants something, but that commander isn't an intelligence professional necessarily. So you have to help them get to the answer, get to the so what. And so those are the ways you can leverage those same skills, and understanding what you do, what you can bring to the table will help you be successful in the private sector.
I think that I really like how you are tying it together to what you did and how similar it is to what you're doing. But so, and something that you thought was just a given, like a soft skill, like team building, and how important it has become to you and your career in the private sector. So those things that just kind of come naturally to you, don't just assume that everyone's going to go, oh yeah, of course she knows how to do that, right? So you've got to focus on that and think about how it can make an impact. And I think that, like, you having to learn how to advocate for the value of the intelligence that you're providing has probably helped you start thinking more strategically about how to leverage your skills, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I think you had mentioned that, you know, your first resume was not great, right? But it still got you that interview, right? So I think, you know, we talk about this a lot, like the resume is definitely not your very first and number one priority. Like, building those relationships are important. But I think since then, you've started to get some ideas on, like, resumes and skills translations that, and I think you brought some good tips today. Do you have any others that you'd like to share about kind of that skills translation and resumes?
Yes. You know, I didn't do this on my first resume, but, and of course I had some success there, but it's not really the course of action I recommend. Like, I always, when I'm helping others or, you know, mentoring through Betterati, I always offer that initial resume, but mainly as a what not to do. Like, here's my current resume versus here's the one that got me the job, but we can do it a little bit better. And what I would recommend to other people is learn the language of your company, learn the language of your peers. You can do that by going on LinkedIn and seeing how they're describing their role, what keywords they're using, what does the job description say, and make that fit on your profile. It's great that you were the J2 at CJSOTIF OIR in Erbil, Iraq. Does anyone know what that means? Absolutely not, right? The recruiters who are looking at these, I mean, you're getting a quick couple seconds, right? Does the language on this person's resume fit the language on the job description? You know, Phil, the recruiter I was speaking to, he's not an intelligence professional, right? He's just a recruiter with the company. And so for him, for me to expect him to understand my resume, to pass it along, is just not very, it's not a constructive way of approaching this process. And so do the homework. I know that it is sometimes exhausting on tailoring your resume to fit that language, but it's so important because you want to help, you want to be able to translate your skills to them. But your first impression is that resume. So help them get to the target a little bit easier, right? Help them connect the dots, do it for them. Don't make them think too hard, I think.
I always say, if you make them hunt for the good stuff, they're going to move on to the next person that made the good stuff easy to find, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Okay. All right. I really like that. So we are going to end the episode here today, but Sarah and I are going to record a bonus question for our YouTube channel. So I want you to check out her video on our YouTube channel because she's going to tell us about how her career has progressed since she started as an analyst. And as you heard me say earlier, she is now a manager, and some of the lessons that she learned along the way after working in the corporate world for the last year, right? Has it been a year? Is that right?
Yeah, it's been a little bit over a year.
A little over a year now. So, okay. All right. So you got to head to our YouTube channel to hear about those lessons that she's learned. Sarah, what you shared today was so valuable. I really appreciate you telling us your successes, but also some of the stumbles and struggles. And anybody listening, just know that I think you said it, like, just do it, like, just try it, and you can always pivot later. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was great. And I hope this someone who needs to hear this, I hope it reaches them and they understand, like, you don't have to be perfect, to just try. And it's okay to fail. You know, you can just pivot.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast. If you learned just one lesson today that you believe can help you in your military transition, then I've done my job. Our goal is to get in the ear of as many active duty service members as possible. So please don't keep this podcast a secret. Share it with as many of your active duty service member friends and transitioning veterans who may be struggling with that process as possible. Please subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and join us on our LinkedIn and Facebook communities to tell us what lesson you learned today.